May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now, children, are you ready for your Greek lesson? Three words. Aphorontes eis Iesoun. You know what that means, don't you? Don't look so blank. Aphorontes eis Iesoun. Those were the first three Greek words I can remember learning when I was about 15. and they were words that were the motto of the Crusaders Union. Many of you have heard of the Crusaders Union. They don't call themselves that now. But it was a national Christian young people's organization, which was very influential on many people's lives, not least mine. Aphorontes eis Iesoun simply means looking unto Jesus. And it's words from the second verse of Hebrews chapter 12, which we had as our second reading this morning. The badge of the Crusaders was the symbols of the shield of faith that Paul talks about in Ephesians. And underneath, wherever the badge of the Crusaders was put on a letterhead or anything like that, there was this motto in a sort of scroll at the bottom, Aphorontes eis Iesoun, and it was always in Greek, not in English. Just to make us feel rather superior in our knowledge of language. By the way, you'll be pleased to know that I failed Greek O-level dismally. But what an excellent motto for young people, for a young people's organisation, and an excellent motto for life indeed. And this passage that we had from Hebrews is one of the great moving passages of the New Testament. For it's well nigh a perfect summary of the Christian life. Let us, looking to Jesus, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This wonderful summary of the Christian life has got a number of ingredients, very briefly. First of all, there's a goal. The idea is of a race, a journey, a pilgrim journey. We don't go along the Christian life like sort of tourists picking up the best bits, but we are pilgrims and we have a goal, which is Christ himself, his presence, his likeness. It's a good idea to ask yourself at the end of each day, am I any further on along this journey? This pilgrim journey. So we're told that the Christian life is like a race, looking unto Jesus, and there's a goal to it. It's also, there is also a huge inspiration to continue this journey. We read all about where the inspiration comes from in Hebrews chapter 11, of which the end we read this morning. Those heroes of faith that all of us who know our Bibles will recognize in all the different experiences that they had of God leading them and bearing up with them and suffering them and helping them. And perhaps we could imagine a picture, or maybe the author of Hebrews had this picture of a stadium crowded with people. And the audience is all those people, past, some famous, some influential men and women, and many others whose names we do not know. And they're all there cheering us on, watching our progress on the journey. So, an inspiration. But we're also warned that this journey has got some handicaps. and it talks about the sin which so easily besets us. No one who is serious about running a race will want to be weighed down by heavy clutter. We have a duty to cast away everything that hinders our pilgrimage. It may be a habit, a pleasure, a self-indulgence, an association which holds us back. But for a journey with him, we must let it go. And then there is the encouragement of keeping on, of enduring, of going through thick and thin, not sitting down and accepting things and letting this tide of events just sort of flow past, but the patience which masters things, a determination which refuses to be deflected. Obstacles, delays, discouragements will not take the hope of this journey away. It is the same steadfast endurance we need that Jesus had, and with him, looking unto him, we will get there. And all this is summarized in the phrase with which we began, looking unto Jesus, listening to him, watching him, discerning him in the whole of life. Here is an image of the Christian life with which we can feel reasonably comfortable. Yes, it's got its challenges and its adventure, but we can feel reasonably comfortable with it. And things that we can feel reasonably comfortable with, we can sometimes become a bit complacent about. There's a story told of the great composer Beethoven. Those of you who are musical buffs may well have heard this before. And he sometimes used to play a trick on the somewhat polite salon audiences, especially when he guessed that they weren't really interested in serious music. He would perform a very slow movement on the piano and lull the audience into thinking of a soft, cozy world. Wake up, don't go to sleep yet. Then, just as the final notes were dying away, he would bring the whole of his forearm down on the keyboard, like that. And, of course, everybody suddenly woke up. And then he laughed at the shock of the assembled company. Well, you may think that was a bit cruel and impolite, but he was trying to get his hearers to wake up to the fact, to the harsh realities of life, of pain and beauty, of joy and tragedy, of life and death, themes which certainly were experienced by him and were often expressed in his music. Well, we might think that our reading from Hebrews is like the slow, quiet movement. It's quite a lot in it, but we can feel reasonably comfortable with it. But when we come to the reading that we had, the reading, the gospel passage that is set for today, we see Jesus speaking of coming to bring fire and households being divided and families disrupted. A wake-up call to what the kingdom of God is really about. And in that gospel reading, Jesus is referring back to passages like Jeremiah that we had earlier, who called those who claimed to be prophets to speak the word of God faithfully. Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rock to pieces? And in those days, that's Jeremiah's days, there were so many false prophets around causing confusion, and they need warning about the power of God's word. Sadly, it was similar in Jesus' time. The false prophets were the religious leaders who failed to recognize what was happening in the presence and power of Jesus. They failed indeed to look to Jesus. These false prophets, Jesus says, putting their legs somewhat, I think, were so good at predicting the weather, whether there was a wind from the west or the south or wherever, but useless at seeing the activity of God in their midst. So Jesus uses strong language, defending his own credentials as a latter-day prophet. His word would indeed be like fire, a hammer blow, which in subsequent history became so true in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. So does that mean that these words of Jesus are not applicable to us? No, because we need to understand the crisis that was taking place in Judaism in Jesus' day, and how Jesus responded to it, and particularly how Jesus thought about his own death. And from early on in the church's history, that chapter in Luke has been read as a warning that each generation must read the signs of the times, the great movements of peoples, of governments, of nations and policies, and try to face them with the message of heaven. Now there's a challenge, because don't those phrases that I just mentioned ring so true in the age in which we live? How can we, humble Christians in St. Michael's, present the message of heaven to all that is going around us? We need to be challenged by that to try and think it through. So looking unto Jesus is not an easy option. We are always caught in the tension. On the one hand, we must try to speak God's word and express the love of God for all, and sometimes this will cause division. And on the other hand, we must go on loving, for as Paul was to write, love will never end, to try to rebuild the unity for which Jesus prayed. His vision was for the unity of all peoples, and breaking down the barriers between people is thus one of the great tasks of the Christian pilgrim on each of our journeys. And in all this, we have the encouragement of those heroes of faith, some of whom we could name personally who have been influential on us, in whose company we run our race, looking unto Jesus, in whom alone you and I and all mankind can find our true fulfillment. Amen. And don't worry if you can't remember the Greek words afterwards.